Stay tuned for On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 844-580-WDBO. That's 844-580-WDBO. And enjoy the show.
Good Saturday morning, Central Florida, and welcome into On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. We are here today with the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, and Rodney Ownby of the Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. And if you want to get in touch with them right now, phone lines are open at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. That's the phone number you need to use to call in and join us live here on the show. 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. And of course, you can always hit us up on our open mic feature too on the WDBO app. I go ahead and open up the app, click the open mic feature, and go ahead and leave us a brief voicemail, and we'll play it live on the air. But the easiest way, 844-580-WDBO. And not only are we taking calls here, but Joe and Ronnie, you guys are taking calls at the office. Who do we have standing by today?
Actually, there's nobody standing by today. I'm glad you asked.
Oh, wow, good. I'm glad I got that out of the way early then.
Yeah, we got a holiday break here, and folks are traveling. But Rodney and I are here this morning to take your calls, as we have been for more than 30 years, working with our listeners, answering their questions here throughout Central Florida, things that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As I say in the intro, this is the only show that's hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. And this morning, I'm privileged to have Rodney Ownby, who in addition to being a CFP, is also a CPA and an accredited investment fiduciary. So we have the full horsepower here this morning with us, and we're here to take your calls, things that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances, decisions that you're trying to make about your 401k, about an IRA, about an investment that you're looking in real estate, about long-term health care, about annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all in and more. These are the things that Rodney and I and the 10 other certified financial planners at Certified Financial Group deal with day in and day out with our clients, getting them to and through their retirement years, doing financial planning and investment management for a fee. And we are here this morning absolutely free. So if you have any questions on those topics or anything else I may have not mentioned, the good news for you is the lines are absolutely wide open. And we are here to take your call. So pick up the phone. I guarantee you, if you're thinking about it, there's 12 other people out there in Central Florida thinking about it as well. They just can't get to the phone. So you could be a hero and pick up the phone and dial these numbers, which are
844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. That's the number, 844-580-9326. That's the number to call in right now if you want to join us. And we actually do have callers who are calling in already. So you want to head right to these phone lines here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we've got Brian in Deltona who's going to kick things off for us. Brian, welcome onto the show.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thank you for taking a call. I have an estate planning question, and I don't know if you would know or who may know, but I'm my brother's power of attorney and executor, and he's approaching end of life. He just sold a significant real estate asset and rolled it into a 1031. If he passes, does that go to his estate? And how will it be taxed?
Yes, the 1031 will be passed to estate because it's an asset. For our listeners that might not be familiar with that transaction, what your brother has done, he had an investment piece of property. What was it? Was it land or was it an apartment building or what was it?
It was an apartment building in Daytona.
Apartment building in Daytona. So for our listeners that might not be familiar with what your brother did, this is a great tax saving strategy, right, Rodney?
That's right.
1031 exchange, which allows you to take the gain that your brother would have had on that property and roll it into a new property and forego the gain and then pay the taxes ultimately when that property is sold, unless he does another 1031 exchange. But right. If he's not here with us, then the survivors will have that decision to make. But yeah, that'll be part of his estate, and it'll pass accordingly, just as if he still owned the original apartment property.
And it's a deferral. Well, gain.
Do you know how it would be taxed? does the step-up rule apply?
Let's see here. So assuming that the 1031 exchange happens before he passes, okay, so now the new property is in his estate,
right?
Right. And then the heirs would get the step up, and then the heirs would get the step up in basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they would.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners, now might not be familiar with what we're talking about there, Rodney. Let's talk about what the step up in basis means.
Well, so they look at the date of death of the individual who owned the property, in this case, the apartment complex, and the value of that, the basis for taxation purposes, is actually stepped up to the fair market value on the date of death.
Right. And so the heirs and the survivors can sell the property and pay no income taxes on it. Under current law, I should
Thank
say.
Thank you very much.
Right. Under current law, which is all subject to change here in the coming Congress, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. I'm sorry for the potential loss on your brother, but it sounds like he has somebody good taking care of his property for him while you're here. So thanks. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, good stuff there. We got another call we can roll to right now. We've got Louie calling in from Titusville. Louie, welcome to the show.
Louie.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how we doing, Louie?
I've got about 30% of my income going into my IRA or my 401k, okay. And we have a Roth option.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering if with the upcoming tax landscape possibly changing, mm-hmm. should I be putting it in pre-tax money or in the Roth? Right now it'll get taxed at 22% if I put it in there.
Okay, so there you go. That answers the question right there. If you put the money in the pre-tax side, you're going to get a 22% tax savings. You put in $10,000, it's going to cost you $7,800 because you saved $2,200 in taxes. You follow the math so far?
You
follow where? Okay. So, I would, if you're in the 22% tax bracket, I don't want you to use the Roth. What do you think, Rodney?
Yeah, that's like you always say, it's a bird in the hand.
Yes.
I mean, he's getting that tax break today that you know you're going to have versus something that's promised in the future. And
I'm just
go ahead.
I'm concerned about when I start withdrawing that money, the tax bracket may be higher. I may be paying more taxes than 22%.
Well, but look at it this way. You're giving up 22% right off the top. I mean,
if you don't do it.
In fact, in order for you to put the in order for you to have $10,000 net to put into the Roth, you've got to earn $12,800. To look at it another way, so take 22% off of $12,800. That gives you your $10,000 that you're going to put in the Roth. And then you get no deduction. And the other thing that you're banking on, which everybody is banking on with the Roth, is that they won't change the tax laws.
So do you think it's more likely they'll change the Roth tax laws than they will change the current income tax rate?
No, income tax rates are going to change. They're going to go up and they're going to go down. But there's nothing that's guaranteed that the tax-free money coming out of a Roth will always be tax-free. There's nothing. There's under current law it is, but they can change the law. You know, they just changed the laws. They've just changed the laws about the stretch IRAs. You familiar with that?
I know that they changed. They increased from 70.5 to 72 on mandatory distributions. If that's what you mean,
right?
No, what we're talking about is back in the day before this year, you were allowed to pass on your IRA, and your survivors could stretch the IRA over their life expectancy. Now the IRA has to be emptied within 10 years if you're not a spouse. So they changed the law.
Right, within 10 years.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they changed the law. And what people don't understand is that there's no guarantees that when we get down the road here 10, 15, 20 years, the government sees these billions of dollars that have never been taxed. You know, this is a pile of money that could be subject to tax. Now, they're not going to tax it all, but they're going to probably do what they did with Social Security. And that's what we call means testing. They're going to say, if your income is over such and such a level, a certain percentage of the money coming out of your Roth will be taxable. They changed the law in 1984. Up until 1984, your Social Security was totally tax-free, and then they changed the law, and here now we're paying taxes on our Social Security. You can never count on the government not changing the law. So as Rodney said, a bird in the hand is the tax deduction that you have today versus a promise that may not be there in the future.
Okay, so stay the course on the pre-tax. And so that's interesting. I didn't realize that the IRA stretch did not apply to spouses. It only applies to inheritance?
No, it applies to now the stretch applies to spouses. It doesn't apply to anybody else, like your kids or grandkids or anybody else. You can stretch it for the spouse, but not anybody else.
Gotcha. But you used to be
okay. Well, I didn't realize that. I thought it was for everybody. All right, thanks, man. Good show. Talk to you later.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Louie.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, you know, we see a lot, particularly, you know, now, because a lot of people are touting that, you know, you didn't have to take your RMD and you maybe don't have the income and now's the time to do the conversions. If you're in the 22% tax bracket, folks, it doesn't make sense to do it in my mind. What do you think, Rodney?
To do the Roth conversions.
Yeah, to do the Roth conversions.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're giving up 22% right off the top. Yeah.
Scraping it right off the top.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. You know, if you take that 22% right off the top, and you've got to earn 28% on the money just to get back to the $10,000, or just get back to where you were. So, you know.
But there are folks who shift into these lower brackets when they retire.
Yes.
And then they're in the 10% bracket, and it may make sense to make those conversions at that point.
And that's what financial planning is all about, folks, is what we do for our clients. When we do financial planning, we look at their tax situation, we look at where their money is, and when this is a time to do Roths, we've done some Roth conversions this year for people that, for whatever reason, their income is way low.
It goes low, right?
It goes low, and this is an opportunity to take advantage of that. But if you're in the 22% tax bracket, in our estimation, it doesn't make sense. In fact, I've said before on the program, if you want more information about that, I did an article for Kiplinger many years ago. It's still appropriate today. It's called Roth, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. Roth, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. And you can Google that, and it'll tell you all the pros and cons about doing that Roth conversion. So it's out there. There we go.
All right. Roth,
how we doing, Chris?
In sheep's clothing. I like that.
Well, yeah, you like that? Yeah, yeah, that's original, huh?
Yeah. All right, yeah, we can take more calls here, 844-580-9326. We will take a quick break here for the three big things you need to know. But we're taking your calls, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Joe Burt and Rodney Ownby of the Certified Financial Group are here with you, and they're answering your questions. 844-580-WDBO. We got to hit the three big things you need to know. But remember, we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Imagine me. Hey, welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. You're filling up the phone lines. We still got more room at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. And while you get those lines filled up, we are going to go to Port Orange and talk with Gail. Gail, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Gail.
Thank you very much. Hello,
thank you for calling.
How is everybody?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good. My question's regarding capital gains under the Biden administration. I understand that they're getting rid of the lower tax rate for those and going to ordinary income. Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's all conjecture at this point, Gail. It's part of the political environment in which we're living. In fact, that's one of the topics that Rodney's going to talk about. At this point, nobody knows if stuff like that's going to happen. A lot of it's going to come down to who controls the Senate, because if the Republicans control the Senate, I doubt that we're going to have major tax legislation along those lines. So I would not worry about that at the moment. It all rings around January 5th in Georgia. You want to add anything to that, Rodney?
No, that's just conjecture, like you said, at this point. And
if the Republicans okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, Gail, move to Georgia and vote. Okay, thanks for the call. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Yeah.
All right, good stuff
there. That would be significant.
Let's roll right along here. We've got Louise calling in from Lake County. Remember, if you want to call in, you can right now. 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. Louise, welcome onto the show.
Good morning, Louise. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Louise.
Good morning, and thank you for your help.
Sure.
My question is, I have my primary residence I own with my brother, and my half is in a trust, and his half is not. Could that cause a probate for me before I could do any action with my property?
If your brother predeceases you?
Yes.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah. you own the property as tenants in common. So yes, I would think yes, you have a you may have a that's a legal question. What do you think there, Rodney?
Yeah, it's a potential with the half.
Yeah, my guess is that your brother's half will go through probate. Now, mm-hmm. why would he not put that in a trust, or he just doesn't want to do a trust?
Well, it probably isn't necessary for him to do a trust.
Got it. Yeah.
Except for that little.
Yeah.
Situation.
Now it's your residence. You're living there.
Yes, I am.
And your brother's not living. You're not living there.
No.
His intention, when he passes on, is to give you the house.
I think it would go to his children, his portion.
We'll be checking on that. Yeah. That's a whole other can of worms, if you will. Yeah.
So you would potentially be looking for somewhere to live.
Pardon me?
So that would be a for sure that it would go through probate.
Yes. Yeah. You're not going to get you don't automatically inherit that property because you own it as tenants in common.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do have another question. If you have a second.
Of course. Sure.
Thank you. In the next couple months, I am going to need to convert something to cash, and I need some direction on what would be the better way to go tax hit wise. I could either sell a life insurance that I'm the owner of on another family member, or possibly borrow against it, or I could sell a real estate holding, or I could liquidate an IRA. And the last would be an annuity I have, which is only a year from no surrender charge, but it would be about $1,300 surrender charge if I did it sooner. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of different options there and different tax treatments on those. So each one is unique. So if you did the annuity, now let's forget the surrender charge for a minute, but if you did the annuity, whatever gain you have on it over and above what you invested is going to be taxed to you at ordinary income. Okay? So you pay the highest amount of taxes there. If you take it out of the IRA, you're going to have ordinary income on whatever you take out of there. Are you under 59 and a half?
No.
Or over 50? You're over 59 and a half? Okay. So there's no penalty.
There's no penalty.
But you will pay ordinary taxes on whatever you take out of the IRA. Okay, number two.
Okay.
Number three, the real estate. It's investment real estate that you own, I presume. It's an investment piece of property,
yes.
Whatever it is. All right, you're going to have capital gains.
Home.
Okay, you'll have capital mm-hmm. gains on that. Have you been renting it?
Yes.
Okay, then you may have some depreciation recapture, right?
Right.
So that you'll have gains, but you may have to recapture some of the depreciation that you've taken. And the fourth one was the life insurance. And you're talking about doing what we call a viatical, where you sell the insurance policy to somebody that was willing to pay you something for it, even though the insured party has not died. Is that what you're
right.
thinking? Okay, that's what's called
the
a viatical.
The company that,
Right.
Settlement.
Yeah, it depends. Hang on. You propose a whole bunch of questions. Luis, can you hang on after the break? I want to get back to this. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, yeah, hang on there, Luis. We're going to finish things up with you when we get back. We got Ken in Davenport to get to as well, and plenty of more open lines. 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a certified financial group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Welcome back to On the Money here, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. If you want to get in touch with us here on the show, you can at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. Joe Burt and Rodney Ownby of the Certified Financial Group are here answering your questions at 844-580-WDBO. Financial Times labels them as one of the top 300 firms in the country. So you know you're getting your good information when you call in here. 844-580-9326. 844-580-WDBO. And let's go ahead and go back to those phone lines here now, because we got to finish up with Luis in Lake County. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off.
Hi, Louise.
Hey, Louise.
Hi there.
You're still there? Okay. So let's recap what you want to do. You need to raise some cash. You're looking at your various sources of potential income. You've got some property you can sell. You've got an insurance policy that you can either turn into what we call a viatical, where you sell the policy or you can borrow from it. Okay, that's number two, as I recall. Number three is taking money from your IRA. And number four is
an annuity.
Is an annuity
that
you have.
Surrender charge,
right,
$1,300.
Right, right. So real quick, Roddy, why don't we recap the pros and cons of each of those?
Well, but potentially, if you draw from the life insurance, the cash value of that, that would be the one event that wouldn't be taxable. The viatical would be taxable to the extent that there's a big gain in that arrangement. And then the others would be ordinary income as well, the gain on the annuity, and then withdrawing from the IRA. And then the sale of the real estate would include capital gain as well as potential depreciation recapture.
So it all depends on your tax situation, Louise. And these are the kinds of things, folks, that we do day in and day out for our clients as certified financial planners. We do financial planning for a fee. You know, what we do is not just investing, although we manage a lot of money for our clients, and clients hire us to do that for them. But financial planning, and this is what distinguishes us, I think, from a lot of folks that are out there, is we really do financial planning as certified financial planners. It's what we've been trained to do. And it's what we do for our clients. We do this for a fee. So, Louise, we'd be glad to help you and go through those situations for you and really maybe make that right decision. Unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, try to make these decisions based on a telephone conversation they had with somebody on the radio on Saturday morning. and it's tough to give you advice, definitely what you should do. Mm-hmm. We can just tell you what the options are, but I can't tell you what you ought to do. So we'd encourage you to give us a call. You can go to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com. Mm-hmm. You can make an appointment right through there, or you can give us a call on Monday morning.
Thanks so much.
Well, you're welcome, Louisa, and thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
You as well.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that call, Louisa. And if you want to call in just like her, you can. 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're going to go to Davenport, though, and talk with Ken. Ken, welcome on the show.
Good morning, Ken.
Yes,
Ken.
Thank you. Good morning, you guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
My father-in-law passed back on October 1st, and my mother-in-law is still in the house, and she's doing fine physically. She's 85. But she's saying that now that she's lost his, you know, they were both getting Social Security, and he was getting his a pension. Now she is getting only about a fourth of his pension, and then of course her Social Security is now just what he was getting, and so she's like running into a cash flow problem, and she's concerned about being able to stay in the house. And she owns a house free and clear. It's up in New England. It's in Maine. It's worth about $450,000. And so some people were talking to her about two choices. One, maybe getting like some sort of a program where she would sell the house back to the bank and then draw some money from the bank, I guess. That's a reverse mortgage, I think. And then the other was to maybe sell it to her son, who lives next door, basically, have them move in and then take care of her. And then she would be, you know, but then the house would be owned by the brother and their two other sisters. So they're really worried about where she's going to get the cash to continue to live.
Sure. Well, you've got some family dynamics going on there. And then you've got some financial. We can address the financial side to it. Reverse mortgage may make sense. What you do with a reverse mortgage is just the opposite of a regular mortgage. What you do is you borrow against the equity in your home. However, you never make a mortgage payment. So she can, depending on her age, once again, she's 85, depending on the zip code in which she lives, the lending institution will give her either a lump sum of money or a line of credit or a monthly check. Depending on the equity that she has in her home. And that's never paid back until such time as that is no longer her primary residence. When she passes on, the heirs have 6 months to a year to sell that property. They pay off the mortgage plus whatever debt she's incurred over that period of time. They sell the property and they get what's left. So it's a way for her to get equity out of her home, out of an asset, and stay in her home for her lifetime. Now, the only caveat here is that she has to make the real estate taxes and the upkeep on the property, just as she is doing now. But she has no mortgage payments, and it's an opportunity to turn her an asset into liquidity. I'm not crazy about the idea of her son moving in with her?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's family dynamics there, and then you said there's two other siblings, and then I don't like the idea of them buying the house from her. I guess they could do that. You know, if they want that house, they could, you know, that's a way to, you know, they sell their property and move in with mom. And but they're taking on a whole other series of events there. And then you have to figure out, okay, how are the other siblings going to be compensated for the house and all that going on? So
I think that's a major problem because the son is wanting to get into the house for a very low price. And I was talking to other people. They said, well, does the house need to be appraised before they even did this? And I thought it should be. But he said, no, I don't need to get it appraised. I'll just give my mother a certain amount.
Sure. Well, you can see what's going on there. And I can see why the other siblings might be a little upset. And, you know, that's how families explode, because somebody sees an opportunity. But by the same token, the son is going to be taking on the responsibility of caring for mom, probably, or hopefully, if mom gets ill. But if mom wants financial independence, and if you say she's still in good health and has her faculties, I would lean strongly on the reverse mortgage idea. Now, they're not free. I mean, don't misunderstand me. There's closing costs.
Significant fees associated.
Yes, but you can wrap that into the mortgage, and it frees capital for her to do what she wants to do. And I would strongly consider it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your advice.
You're welcome, Ken. Good luck to you. You and the family.
Thank you.
One other thing, she still owns the home. It sounded like they were also talking about a sale leaseback potentially with the bank.
Well, I think that's what he's referring to on the reverse mortgage.
Mortgage.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she owns the house free and clear.
Yeah, and she would continue to own the house. The only thing is that the reverse mortgage company has a mortgage on the property.
Right.
And when she passes on, then that property is sold, the debt's paid off, and everybody splits the money and goes their merry way. So that's how that works.
All right. Well, thank you for the advice.
You're welcome, Ken. Good luck to you and happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye.
Thanks.
Take care, Ken.
All right. You can pick up more phones at 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. We got express lines open straight to the offices here, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. Joe and Ronnie, we've kind of briefly talked about it. We've touched on it a little bit throughout with some of the questions that people have asked. We had the question earlier about capital gains under the Biden administration. So I guess maybe we should talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of expectations and why you shouldn't necessarily make any drastic moves or do anything influential just because of the outcomes of the election.
And that's absolutely right, Chris. And, you know, we've talked about it here on the radio today. And Joe, I know I've continued to get emails and calls with questions about what that, you know, potential Biden administration looks like. But we've got some research from our friends at Vanguard here. And what they did was they went back and looked at the last seven new presidential administrations. And they looked at the number of days between inauguration and implementation of the flagship campaign promise for that particular candidate. And the good news is that there's a considerable amount of time that you have to make whatever, you know, tactical moves that you're looking to make with your portfolio. And they went all the way back to the Jimmy Carter administration. And the number of days between his inauguration, the actual implementation of his flagship campaign promise, what do you think?
In terms of days?
Yeah.
You'll be surprised. Gotta be greater than a year. 530 days.
Almost 2 years. Yeah. 658 days.
So 658? I said 530. Not too bad.
Yeah, that was a good guess.
Yeah, it doesn't happen right away.
Absolutely not. Ronald Reagan in his first term, 205 days.
And
he, you know, we recall he worked with Tip O'Neill there
for
tax reform. That was actually in his second administration. And actually 1,050 days into his second administration was when they actually implemented
The 86 tax law. I remember that well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know that one well, right?
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush,
mm-hmm.
He had a contentious relationship with the Senate, never enacted his
This is what I think that President-elect or President Biden will be running up against if the Republicans hold the Senate.
Right.
So, you know, exactly all those crazy things. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is, you know, prior to the election, we heard people talk about you ought to have a plan if Biden gets elected. You ought to have a plan if Biden gets elected. So put your money in cash and you know, see what happens. Well, you know, if you put your money in cash, what you did is you sold out low. And now look what the market's done since the election. You've missed one heck of an opportunity. This is why you don't want to make those decisions. That's a rookie mistake, frankly. And people were selling fear.
Yeah,
people were selling fear and encouraging people to do things that you shouldn't do based on however the political winds are blowing. If you have a portfolio that is built, and this is what we do for our clients, build what we call all-weather portfolios that will get you through the good times and the bad. Now, that doesn't mean that the portfolios don't go down, but that means that you don't, regardless of what goes on, that you don't make knee-jerk reactions. And this is what pulled our clients through the pandemic, frankly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we
that same strategy.
Strategy, and it worked, and our clients are happy and enjoying their cheesecakes this week. So,
and to your point, Joe, there's a chart in here that shows the people who it shows the different portfolios, mm-hmm. and there's an example of 100% to cash on the day after the election, and just in terms of the gain, and because you don't know when to get back in.
Exactly.
And it's a disaster for the portfolio to have moved 100% to cash the day after the election.
Yeah, because that's the other, you know, do I get in now? Now the people that went to cash are still sitting there. They're waiting for the next correction, and the market's going up and up and up and up, and then they finally get in, and then you have a little correction.
And there's a down day.
Exactly. That's why you can't time the market, folks. It's time in the market, not timing the market, as we say time and time again. It's what we do with the Certified Financial Group. We've been doing it for over 40 years. We are fiduciaries working with our clients. All of our planners are certified financial planners in addition to being accredited investment fiduciaries, and we're very, very proud of that distinction. We have an office in Altamont Springs, and we have an outpost, if you will, in the Windermere area for our clients down in South Orlando and Lake County that we can meet you with. If you want more information about what we do and how we've been doing it for over 40 years now, go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. That's financialgroup.com. You can make an appointment right there, and you can learn about all of us, Rodney and me and the 10 other certified financial planners that do financial planning and investment management for a fee.
And, of course, you can still call in right now,
844-580-WDBO,
844-580-9326. We got a final segment coming up, so you want to get your call in, now's the chance, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Welcome back to On the Money's, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. Each week we get some questions into the show from listeners who, you know, they send it into the Facebook, you know, on the social media, when email, however they may get a hold of the Certified Financial Group and send these questions in. We gather them up and we kind of use them when we need to, when the phone lines go a little down, and here we are. So we've got a good one here, actually. I really like this one. I'm 52 and participating in my company's 401k. Can my spouse, who doesn't work, contribute to an IRA account?
Oh, that is a good question. It comes up fairly regularly. What you see a lot of times is that there's a spouse who doesn't work, and they have a small IRA with, you know, maybe $10,000 or $12,000 in it. And you can remind them, if they're an active participant, then they can also have a spousal IRA and make contributions to that. And in this particular instance, 52 is this particular person said, mm-hmm. so they can contribute the $6,000 plus the additional $1,000 catch up for being over the age of 50. So it's good to continue to contribute to that. And a lot of people forget that they have that option up to an income limit of about $196,000. They can contribute as long as their income is under that limit. Starts to phase out at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that, so you don't want to leave those things on the table. And that's what we do as certified financial planners. We look for those opportunities when we're working with clients and show them how they can reduce their taxes immediately, and then more importantly, when it comes time to retirement, what account to take the money from. You know, you have your taxable bucket, which is your regular savings and your regular investment brokerage accounts, your brokerage accounts, which should be treated as long-term capital gains when you cash those out. And then you've got your tax-free accounts if you've got municipal bonds, and then you've got tax-deferred accounts if you've got annuities, and then you have your tax-deferred accounts in your in your retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 457s, right. And then your Roth accounts.
Your Roth assets last, right?
Yeah. So you have a whole bunch of assets, a whole bunch of buckets you got to choose from and where to take the money. It's what we do when we do financial planning for our clients. So we've accumulated the money. It's in these various buckets. Now, what's the best way to take that out? And these are the decisions that we make for our clients as they go through those retirement years. And we look at where to pull the money from based on what's going on with the investments, based on going on with the tax laws. And then we'll have those deposits sent directly to your checking account. So you can spend it as you need it. And our job is to keep an eye on it and be sure you're well-diversified with quality investments. We can never guarantee returns, but we can always guarantee you that you will always have good investments in your portfolio and you will be well-diversified. And over the long term, we have proven time and time again that quality and diversification in the long run will get you to where you want to go. And that's what we do. So if you want more information about what we do and how we do it at Certified Financial Group, you can go to our website. That's financialgroup.com. financialgroup.com, and you can click on there and learn all about Rodney and me and the 10 other CFPs that we have at Certified Financial Group and how we've been doing it now for over 40 years. As I said, we have an office in Altamont Springs, and if you don't want to drive up here from where you are down in South Orlando, we have an office down in the Windermere area, right, Rodney?
That's right. Conroy-Windermere Road. 9100 Conroy Windermere Road.
So you can make
the main intersection,
and you can make a reservation through our office there if you would prefer meeting down there. Just let our receptionist know, and Rodney would be glad to talk to you and meet you down there as well. Rodney is, as I said, a certified financial planner. In addition to being a CPA and an accredited investment fiduciary, he's loaded with credentials, and he's glad to meet with you. And I'm glad to meet with you as well. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
Happy Thanksgiving,
and thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, where we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.